Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are in the concluding weeks of our series on tithing, giving, and the scriptures. And we're reviewing some of the really important things we've learned and applying them to our situation today. It's been great hearing from you all about what this series has helped you with and helped you to clarify and even raise more questions. And there's going to be things we don't agree on, and that's fine. The point is that I want you to go to God with these questions and not be doing something because I say this is what you should do, but because God has given you the truth, has spoken to you himself. We're all not concerned about making sure our behavior lines up with some standard or ideal that someone else or even ourselves we placed out there, you know, as defining what is the perfect Christian. What would it look like to walk in the Spirit? What would it be like? Trying to do that in our own strength is flesh. We're using our own strength as a crutch to try to do something God has enabled your spirit alone to do. Now your spirit is working to gain control over your soul and your body. So we're in the process where our behavior gradually lines up with who we are as a spirit. But really, we have no idea what that looked like and what it will look like for us. When we think about Jesus walking around in his robes teaching, why did people follow him? Why did people look up to him? Why did people crucify him? It's not because of his behavior. It was because he had learned of the Father, and he did what was now who he was. He didn't go, okay, now I need to teach the people praying. Now I need to teach people healing. Now I need to teach people the Father. On a moment-by-moment basis, he was. That's why I love the description of God of himself. He doesn't say, I am God, I can prove to you I'm God, my name is God, and because this is what I do, because I created the all creation. Because I'm not omnipotent, I'm all-powerful, I can move this mountain. He didn't start demonstrating his power or his wisdom. He just described himself as, I am. I am that I am. And everything flows out of reality. That truth. That there is an ultimate say in the world, in the universe, in creation, and it's God. God is not a part of anything. He is everything. This is one of the struggles we have when it comes to the whole concept of good and evil. You know, it's said that God does not create evil, but he allows it to happen for his own purposes. But that's all the devil. That's all the demons. That's, you know, Satan and his bad guys. But then where did that come from? And we can get all caught up in the theology. But when we start giving anybody equal power, equal credit for what God is and what he's doing, we are saying that someone or something is equal to God. We're then saying that God's not the only God. But when we start to realize that all of creation was created by God, and that good and evil were created by God, we begin to realize that what needs to change is not our theology about good and evil, but about God's purpose. We think that, just as we think that, you know, if we are in his will, nothing bad will ever happen to us. Well, that's a deception. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. It's what is revealed when that rain falls that's the difference. What God wants us to do is to turn to him. God, what do you want me to do with this rain? With this crisis, when this evil enters my life? And we identify whether it's an attack that we can overcome, whether it's something we are to allow to just bypass us and just go through it, or whether it's something that is exposing something and God brings it into our life for a time and a season. But he alone, God alone, can tell us the truth about that situation. So our beliefs are what need to change. Not trying them harder over and over and over again. So we tithe and our finances don't get any better. And yet we know that happens for, you know, the other people. Why isn't it happening for us that when we tithe or we give to that ministry or to that church, where they say if you give X amount, if you give $100, God's going to give it back to you 10,000-fold. And maybe not in money, but he'll heal you and he'll restore your family. But those things don't happen. And you start going, what's wrong with me? What am I missing? And very often we reject God because he didn't follow through. He didn't take care of you. The real problem was he never said that to begin with. He's not telling you to tithe. He's not telling you to give in order to get. Because he has already given to you everything you need to live in this world now as a son of God. All you need for life and godliness, the fullness of the kingdom, you are right now seated in those heavenly places. Not about dying and getting there. You are seated there now. You're seated at a place of involvement but rest. You're not asleep in heavenly places. You're not commanding from heavenly places. You are seated in that place of authority and rulership where your spoken word sent with your spirit behind it through God, or from God, changes your life, other people's lives, the world. When you think about Jesus and I think it was the centurion who came to him and said his daughter had a demon and needed healing, and Jesus ended up just sending the word. He was not establishing a doctrine or following one. He simply knew that in the spirit there was no time nor space. And the way was clear to send that word of freedom, and it would find its mark. And he didn't have to be there. That word, that life, came from him and hit its mark, and he knew it. Not because he was the Son of God, but because as the Son of Man, he had spent time with his Father. Our misconceptions about God's expectations distract us and exhaust us in trying to be what God wants us to be when we're already there. So what is our purpose and plan now? To learn how to be what we are. In a lot of respects, it's for many of us, it's unlearning what we think we know. To unlearn so many of the doctrines and expectations and overcome the fear of failure and derision from our peers, those that we have looked up to. And when you start to question about your beliefs and why do we have to do this? Why can't we just do this? And when you start really asking about the nature of prayer, where does it say to pray like this? Why? How come it's not working? Or you don't have enough faith. Well, what do you mean by that? And when the weight of achievement is always on you, is always on us, that we aren't doing something good enough. When God has said that we can do all things, and greater things shall we do, not because we will learn them, but because Jesus went to the Father. He said he would send his Spirit. That Spirit that he sent enlivened and enlivens our spirit. That's what changes us and converts us from being a forgiven dead person to being an enlivened living spirit being. Remember during our conversion, our salvation experience, let's look at Lazarus. When Lazarus died, let's say he died of pneumonia, or he broke something, or he got an infection, let's say pneumonia. When Jesus came to raise him from the dead, he had to do two separate things. If all Jesus did was get his heart pumping again and his lungs breathing, that wouldn't have done Lazarus any good because he was dying of something. He had a cause of death in his body, the pneumonia. So just doing CPR, getting his heart beating and restoring his brain cells, Lazarus would have just died again. Likewise, if Jesus had healed Lazarus and removed the pneumonia and removed every other sickness out of his body, that wouldn't have brought him back to life. He would have just been a perfectly healthy corpse. Jesus did both. He healed him of the thing that caused his death, and then he gave him new life. How does that apply to you and I? Through the cross, God paid or removed what caused our death, sin, the sin nature. But it was through his resurrection that he enlivens us once and for all, that he gives us a new spirit. He breathes new life. We are born again, not through the cross, but through the resurrection. We are made able to be resurrected in him through going through the crucifixion. That he does away with our old nature and gives us a new one that is born of the same spirit that he is. That which begat spirit is spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We use that term born again so easily and so lightly. And yet everything changes. Everything changes. We can no longer mix the old and the new. And when we try, it will fail. God will not allow you to live as a beggar, as a thief, as a liar. It's not about your behavior. You're dead. You can't do anything other than sin unless you're born again. It's no surprise that sinners sin. But guess what? Saints, saint. There's that bumper sticker, you know, I'm just a forgiven sinner. That's a lie. You were a forgiven sinner for a fleeting microsecond while God was re-inspiriting you. But you are now a saint. You are holy and righteous. And a joint heir, bone of God's bone and flesh of his flesh, in the kingdom now. And this has been a real struggle for many of you have gotten this, have really received a lot of the understanding of this. But in trying to explain it to others, you've met with, in some cases, mild opposition and some outright rejection. Well, in reality, that's not surprising. That's your warfare. Maybe not to change their mind, but to learn how to depend on God, how to use every situation as an opportunity to learn to depend on God in order to rule and reign. It is not your task to be responsible for the outcome. That's not the project he's assigned you. We are not outcome driven. We will look at the results and consider them and speak to God about them. But our task is not going to be as outwardly evaluatable as we are used to. This is one of the reasons in organized churches there is such an emphasis on how many people are attending or how much money you've raised or if you're growing or not. Because that's the measure of success. But for you and I, our measure of success is hearing God say right now, good job, I'm proud of you. And knowing that you are starting there. You don't have to gain His approval. You have it. And now you're learning to live like it. Spend some time this weekend just thinking, Lord, what is it like to be your son? What is it like knowing that I have the approval of God Himself, that He cannot take it from me, that there's nothing He can hold against me, that He is satisfied and thrilled with me, and that what I'm to do now is to learn to rest and enjoy and work and respond out of a place of perfect acceptance and perfect value. So that we learn, when we learn things that don't line up with what we've been taught, we're not distracted by the differences. We don't want to focus on how we are responded to. We allow the Lord to do the responding from our spirit. Now, this is in weird juxtaposition because we are also learning how to develop and trust our own judgment. And we're finding our own sense of evaluating the presence of God in our lives, how we're doing. And this is going to be a moment-by-moment basis. And yes, I got to tell you, you're right. This is a lot more work than what you're used to. And there's this idea that just get through this life, and then either there's going to be a rapture-type thing, or you're going to die and instantly be changed in the twinkling of an eye and be with God, and then you'll be perfected. Now, first of all, there's no basis. You know, most people try to find support for that in the scriptures, and we could go through that some other time. But that does not reflect God's character. What does He want from you? He wants you to be receiving everything He's giving and just saying thanks. So it is through our day-to-day and moment-by-moment accepting of everything He's pouring into us. I'm not talking about revelation or gifts, but Himself lining us up so we can receive everything He is. And pouring it out as He directs. Learning how to do that. Learning how to be healed. Learning how to know Him and be in Him. So when we learn these things, He quickens our senses. He fine-tunes our ears, our eyes. We start to see things that we didn't see before. We're hearing things that we just really never noticed before. And we start freeing our will to make choices. And we go from, God, I don't want to offend this person, so I'm just going to agree with what they say, to, I'm free to offend this person because their offense is not in my control. If they are offended, Lord, that's between you and them. But is this, Lord, is this a good time? Do you want me to say something? So instead of being goal-oriented, project-oriented, outcome-oriented, it's, you know, in other words, it's my duty to straighten these people out about this, especially when you start talking about tithing in a church that relies on that for their existence. When you start telling them, correcting them, well, that's not what the scriptures say. That's not what we're supposed to be doing today. We're supposed to be learning how to give. You will get a reaction. And that's not your task. Now, God may say, yes, I do want you to share. But then you're going to have to leave. Or he may say, I just want you to leave. Don't even tell them why you're leaving. Or I want you to stay and don't tell them about what you think about the tithing. But don't tithe. You're free to give, and I want you to give, and we'll talk about it every single time. The point is there's no right answer that you're going to be able to come up with on your own. And it's amazing. That's what really church is all about, is believing the right things, knowing the right doctrine. And think about how many churches are out there, how many denominations and variants of each denomination. And they all think they know the truth. They have come up with the right set of approaches and words and descriptions, when they're all just trying to do it their way, what suits them, not what suits God. When we start to experience who God is in reality, everything changes. We cannot continue to live the way we have been living once we start drinking from that river. Now, why was Jesus, remember when Jesus drove out the money changers? And when you think about all the times that Jesus was angry and all the different stories, who was he angry at? Was he angry at the people that followed him around? Was he angry at the Romans? No, he was angry at the Pharisees. He was angry at the priests. He was angry at those who misrepresented him, because they drove a wedge, a false wedge, between the Father and the people. Anything that adds to that wall, you need to talk to God about. Whether it's a belief, whether it's a person, whether it's a fear of change in circumstances. If I say something, I may lose my job. I ran into that in ministry situations, where if I disagreed, there's a risk that you'll lose your job. Don't worry about it. You don't have to stress out about it. Ask God. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. It's not your job to force your ideals and your ideas down somebody else's throat. But don't be presumptuous with God either. And then when it does come time for you to move on to something else, you'll know you're ready. It may not be easy, it may not be pretty, and it will likely hurt. None of those mean anything. Wait for him to give you the go-ahead. Even though things might be taken out of your hands and you might be asked to leave, that's fine. Don't make a big deal out of it. Don't make a bigger deal out of it than it is. You'll heal. The Lord will see to that. He's not going to let you walk around damaged for the rest of your life. Give him that opportunity. to share with you his life and his healing in every area of your life. He wants to talk to you and bring to your mind, bring to your memory, your emotions, those things that are keeping you from resting in him and with him. So we'll pick it up here next Saturday. You can always drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. Until then, have a great weekend. And remember, the Lord knows everything you need, and you do too. You already know the answers to your problem. The problem is not knowing, it's hearing. Talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in. This is Diane at Prepare Radio.